So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. I want to talk to you on the subject today, will the real mom please stand up? Will the real mom please stand up? I don't know about you, but I've had the luxury of having several mothers in my life. I had my biological mother passed away when I was 20 years of age. Hadn't been married but about 6 months. Thank the Lord that she did see me, that I had turned my life around. So I was glad that she was alive to see that. But she passed away when I was 20. God blessed me with another mother figure named Linda Jones. Linda Jones was a mother to me for many years. She was my pastor's wife, but she mothered me. And then she passed away. So apparently being my mother kills people. Not long after that is Sister Annette Watson began to mother me. And I'm so thankful for them in my life. Now, if those of you who understand the power of a mother, man, they have the ability to soothe you. How many times have you just wanted to crawl up in the lap of your mom and forget life? I saw a meme the other day that I thought was real good. The meme said, I am through with my trial subscription of adulthood. I would like to cancel it at any time. How many remember when you was a child? And I don't remember it, but my children, they used to fight to take a nap. Now I'll fight you to try to get a nap. Come on, somebody. Things change, don't it? In the book of 1 Kings, though, chapter 3, reading from 16 through 28, and I'm going to throw you another one real quick here. I'm going to go with the NIV version. And it says this, now two prostitutes. No, I'm not there yet. I don't want to go to my first point yet. I'm just getting my scripture together. Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby, and we were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, no. The living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. And he then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give the living baby. Give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, whether or not I shall have him, cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Now, there were several things that jumped out to me in this passage of Scripture. One might say, how in the world could someone move a child from the mother's side and the mother not know it. Well, apparently, you haven't been that tired yet. Come on, some of the mamas, say amen. Amen. Their nitroglycerin plant could go off and you wouldn't hear it because you were so tired. And if the child didn't cry, come on now. Because see, the mamas I know that you could get up, but they won't hear you. But you let the baby cry, and all of a sudden they're awake and alert. So that kind of jumped out to me. So I thought that could happen, absolutely. 100% that could happen. But then as I begin to think about this story, it's really not the classic Mother's Day message. The classic Mother's Day message is taken from Proverbs 21. Or maybe we could talk about Rizpah, who fought off the buzzards because they would not let, they killed her children and had them out in the open and wouldn't bury them. So she stayed up all night fighting the wolves and the buzzards, keeping from these animals from coming and devouring her children. But I dare say that this is a Mother's Day message also, if you look at it in the light of what I'm going to bring it. Because you got to pay a little closer attention because it's quite a classic story. See, we don't know what one of the problems is, or one of the problems that we have in classic Bible stories is we often learn the primary lesson and fail to see the rest of the story. In this incident is used of God to show how he had given Solomon the wisdom he had requested as king, and it proves that wisdom comes from God. If you'll remember when Solomon was made king and he prayed and God gave, he said, ask whatever you want and I'm going to give it. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fortune. He didn't ask for fame. He asked for wisdom to serve Israel in a manner that was fitting a king. And God said, because you didn't ask for these other things, I'm going to give you everything that you asked for and then everything you didn't ask for. And that's what God did. But in this story that we've just read, it provides what I want to call morals of motherhood from an unlikely source. Because the first moral of motherhood from this story, point number one, is that there is no such thing as a perfect mother. Now, don't write me any emails. Don't get mad. Don't stand up right now. You don't know my mama. Well, come on, somebody. Everybody's mama is perfect in their own eyes. Or not everybody, but most folks. But I don't say this to drag mothers down. But I do this to build them up. Because no one needs to be treated with more tenderness and more care than our mothers. Mothers are the nurturers of society. Mothers will keep you when your daddy wanted to drop you off at the fire station. Mothers will keep you when daddies wanted to kill you and make another one because you was a mistake. Come on, somebody. Mothers, no one has more caring and more conscientious about children than most mothers. Because just because that you have bore a children through or from your womb does not necessarily make you a mother. Just like for a man to sire a child doesn't make him a father. Now, wait a minute, Pastor, that's right. Now, you know, we got to give both due. That you could have bore a child but still not be motherly. Or you could also have sired a child but not been in its life or not any part of their life other than the conception side. Come on, somebody. But sometimes I think that we're too hard on mothers. And sometimes they're too hard on themselves. Because the two mothers in this story evidently were prostitutes. Well, we wouldn't expect anything less from that kind. Well, listen. The two mothers here were prostitutes. Their babies were evidently conceived under sinful circumstances. And let that grab you for a moment. Let that grab you. They were conceived more than likely, we don't know the truth, but if we read between the lines, they were more than likely conceived in a sinful situation. It makes you sit up in your church chair and take notice. Wait a minute. Well, Lord, what are we preaching here? We just letting anything go. No, listen to me. Why did Solomon, king over God's chosen people, even take the time to worry about two prostitutes? See, it goes into the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, no matter where you are today, God cares about you. No matter where you've been, God cares about you. It makes you sit up here, but it also makes you understand these women and the sinful men who paid for their services were living outside of God's will. However, I don't care how you came into this world, but know that God, who brought you in, is still your creator, and he is still trying to get you ready for when he comes. Not only did, you know, it just because you're here, God needed the DNA of your mama and your daddy, the people who produced you. He needed that DNA to get you to where you are today. And you may say, but Pastor, I have been neglected. I've been all of these things. I've come by to tell you that you might have been a product of your environment, but Jesus came so that you could get out of that product, so that you could get out of that environment. Jesus came that no matter how you were born, no matter what circumstances you were born in, there is another born again, and it's through Jesus Christ. And when we ask Christ to come into our life and our sin is forgiven, we have the ability to start over in a sense and begin to get the nurturing of the Holy Spirit, the nurturing of God, and we get to turn out better than what we were. I'm preaching to somebody. Solomon was concerned about these two women because God was concerned about these two women. Solomon was concerned because God was concerned. Solomon was concerned because God was concerned. And I don't have to convince you that the church should stand for moral purity, do I? Let me go on record. I still believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. I still believe that a man and a woman ought to keep themselves chaste, which means keep themselves pure. I mean, not having sex before marriage, you should keep yourself pure until you make that covenant. Well, Pastor, you don't know if somebody's good in bed, and you don't know if you want to spend the rest of your life with them. Hey, listen, nobody wants to drive a car with 100,000 miles on it. Help me, somebody. These women were not living up to God's ideals, yet here's what I want you to catch. God still loved them. Isn't that what mothers do? Mothers love even when they don't agree. Mothers love even when they don't agree. Now, I know daddies do too, you know. But mothers have that ability that when daddy cuts you off, mothers still keep going. Mothers will send you money when daddy won't. Come on, somebody. If any of us had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, none of us would be loved by God right now. We're loved by God not because of our performance. We're loved by God because he created us. I love my children because I sired them children. I fathered those children, and I love my children. However, I am not always pleased with my children. Well, let me go a little bit further, though. The more I am pleased with my children, the more they have my favor. See, that's the key. Well, Pastor, I'm saved. I thank God. Man, listen, somebody goes, well, I don't want to just barely get to heaven. I don't care how I get there, I want to get there. All right? I mean, you know, this is unbiblical. It is not theologically correct. There's an old song that you say, just build my mansion in the corner of glory. No. That ain't what the Bible says. However, I understand the sentiment. However I can get there, if I can just get there, that's what I want, right? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that in my house are many mansions, and he has got one for you and me. But here's the deal. Some of us are just enough saved that you can enjoy the world, and just enough of the world that you can enjoy God. We've got to come to a point in our life that not only do I want to be saved by God, but I want to be pleasing in my Father's eyes. I want to be pleasing in His eyes so that I may find His favor. We want the favor of God. If any of us had to wait for it, we would be out of luck, wouldn't we? There's no such thing as a perfect mother. Just like there's no such thing as any perfect one among us. If there's anyone in whom we should certainly be willing to overlook some faults, it should be our mother. Why? Because they've overlooked our faults for so long. We need to lighten up on mom a little bit, and moms need to lighten up on themselves a little bit. Moms need to laugh a little bit. It's good for you. Look at your neighbor and say, you ought to laugh a little bit. Give your face a rest. Find something to smile about and make it a regular habit. Can I tell you that you're really missing the boat if this is the only day that you honor your mother? You need as regularly as you can, make a call. However, listen to me, especially men, honor your mother, but not more than your wife. Yeah, baby. Life is too short, and God is too good to go around frowning all the time. Here's another moral motherhood. Point number two is this: God has answers for a mother's problems. You're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, ask the Lord, get into the Word of God, and ask some other mothers who are older than you, who have raised good children. Now listen, don't ask a mama who don't have a handle on mamahood. But the problem is, some of us don't want to ask for help because we think that's going to cause us to be weak or some kind. No, honey, a wise person learns from their mistakes. A wiser person learns from somebody else's mistakes. Tell me what to do. I look at children who have turned out well, and I try to talk to their parents to see how to raise my own kids. Now, you can't do it exactly because it doesn't fit, but you can get some good ideas. Don't look for a stress-free motherhood. It doesn't exist. Now, I would tell you that my mother was stress-free with me, but I had 10 other siblings. That's what her stress was. It wasn't me. Because I was always sweet. I was always doing what she asked. Amen. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. No. There's no such things. From the pains of giving birth to the empty nest to grandchildren and beyond, motherhood is stressful. I never understood this until my children got a little bit older, but I thought that, you know, once they got 18, motherhood or fatherhood kind of stopped. No, it gets harder. Because then they don't want to do everything you say because they think they're grown. Just because they don't live in your house and they have their own place. No, I don't like that. You still do what I say. Right? I remember my father-in-law years ago when Jillian was just a small baby and she did something and I smacked her hand and he said, now Ronnie, that baby's too young to be smacking her hand. And I told him, I said, listen, you already raised your kids. Look how they turned out. Let me raise these. Yours didn't turn out so great. He said, wait a minute, you married one of them. I go, I know it, I'm having to re-raise her. I'm not going to tell that one in the 11 o'clock because my wife and her mother will be in service. But I did tell him that, and we had a good laugh. He was that kind of guy. God is willing to and able to assist moms in the problems that they encounter. God didn't give Solomon wisdom so folks could stand around in the palace and say, ooh, ah. No, he gave him wisdom for a purpose. And God will give you wisdom. He's no respect of person. God not only loved those two prostitute mothers, but he also loved the baby in this story. God dispatched his wisdom to Solomon to save a child. God wants to save children and save you. He has wisdom to spare for a parent's responsibilities today. He can guide you. He can provide for mothers in all kinds of life situations. Single moms. Man, my hat's off to you. My prayer for you. You know, I've said to my wife so many times, especially when they were small, that it is difficult with two parents in the picture. I can't imagine just having one. So, man, congratulations doesn't do it. Blessings doesn't do it. You're incredible. You're incredible. Kids today are special needs. And that's okay. Because whether you're a single mom, whether you're an adoptive mom, whether you're a stepmom, whether you're a mom with special situations, you name it, God has wisdom for you. God has plans for you. God will help you in whatever situation you're in. He can teach you what you do or what to do and what to say in every situation. You just need to understand that. Like the mom who was tucking her small boy into bed one summer night during a violent thunderstorm. She was about to turn out the light when he asked him with a tremor in his voice and said, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" And the mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug and said, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep with your daddy." A long silence was broken with a shaky little voice, and the little boy said, "That big sissy." Point number three is this. There's nothing like a mother's love. There's nothing like a mother's love. The real mother in this story would rather see another woman raise her child than to see him split in two. Now that's love right there. I would rather to see him in somebody else's arms. I would rather see him live than to be dead. For every mother who's had to bury your child, I don't understand that grief, but God does. I want to say to every mother who's ever had to bury a child, God understands where you're at. And he's in this place this morning to give you comfort. He's in this place this morning. Matter of fact, let me go one step further. Every mother that maybe you wasn't a good mother all the time, and maybe your child was taken away and you don't have your child right now, I want you to understand that God understands where you are, and God has the ability to help you to become a better person so you can get them back, come on somebody, or that you can live whatever it takes, man. God has that ability, but you've got to ask him for it. See, I understand that not every mother is Betty Crocker. Not every mother is a Martha Stewart. Not every mother. Some mothers are trying, but they're messed up, and the sin has caused them to be all out of whack. But I've come by to tell you that the blood of Jesus and the wisdom of God is still enough for you to get your life back in order and for you to take back what the devil stole. The devil is a liar, and allow God to bring comfort and peace and hope back into your life. The real mother of this story said, "No, let the other one have him." See, you have to be willing to give up some things to be a good mother. Did you hear that? To be a good mother, you got to be able to give up some things. Starting out when they're born, you give up the shape of your body. Gets all out of whack. And a lot of times, it's like a slinky. Never goes back the way it really was. Come on. Sometimes you have to give up your sleep, your rest. How many mamas have had to get up and take the kids to school or go to work or whatever and wasn't able to do the things that they would normally do? They used to be all put together, and now they're just trying to keep it together. Mothers. Personal sacrifices is a pivotal part of motherhood. It begins with sacrificing your body for 9 months. I don't, man. I mean, there's a person living inside of you. I know I look like there is, but there's not. I know what's living inside of me. It's part of a cow. Hamburger. Matter of fact, I think there's a couple of pigs in there, some pork. No mother's child ought to get over that sacrifice that your mother did. You know, now, some of you, your mother never let you live that down either. I was in labor with you for 36 years. Felt like 36 years, yeah. She's still in labor with you. Our mothers fed us, nourished us, protected us with their own bodies before we ever even saw the light of day. And I don't know anyone else who loves me enough to carry me around for 9 months. But a mother's sacrifice doesn't end there. They keep giving. They keep going. They give up sleep for the midnight feedings. They give up sleep for every 2 hours to get up. They give up personal goals to help their children achieve their goals. Ask yourself how many times you got maybe a new outfit, but mama didn't. How many times that you got a pair of shoes, but mama didn't. How many times did you get to have your favorite cereal, but your mom really wanted this other, but she sacrificed? We honor moms today for all that they give and all that they do. They remind us of a God who is sacrificial and giving. That's what our God is. He gave his son. He gave his son for a world of wayward children. Today, I'm saved because he gave his son. I'm not wayward anymore because he gave his son. See, nothing's like a mother's love. But where do you think that mother got that from? It's from God. How many people have you given up on but God didn't? I got a running list of people I gave up on. People that I'm almost, one more time and I'm through with them. Come on, somebody. Pastor, you don't, whatever, right, you're right. I don't have a list. But God never gives up. That kind of love should not go unnoticed. That kind of love should not go unappreciated. Respond to moms with great love and appreciation, and respond to God who created motherhood in the same way. Would you stand with me to your feet? And I'm going to ask for our Spirit Life team to come, because I really feel like there's a need for prayer this morning. Our ushers are stationed. They're going to give you a flower as you go out, and I want you to have an amazing Mother's Day, but just give me a few minutes. It's 9:29. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today because mama asked you to come. And maybe you don't know the love of God. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, would you just lift up your hand? You can put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.